Oh.
Jermaine, can you not be so dark?
I would laugh if you got even more light-skinned. Oh, pull it back out.
I'm not even that bad.
An asshole. Love it.
Hey guys. Welcome to the Hype Attack Podcast,
where we weigh in on the latest in nerd and pop culture hype.
We
are the head. We're the excited conversation we all have with our friends
about the nerdy things we love
and geek about.
We are
the Hype Attack.
I am the hype!
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Hype Attack Podcast, where we weigh in on the latest and possibly the greatest nerd and pop culture hype.
He said it.
I'm Jermaine, and as always, I'm here with Doug, Isaac, and Rudy. And on today's episode, we will be talking about X-Men 97, baby. To me, my hype man.
Oh, X gonna get it to
take my pants off again.
But as always, before we dive into that, we're gonna get into some stuff that we, you know, are hyped about.
All right, let's keep talking about superheroes.
Some news, yes. Some pictures.
Mm. A picture.
Dropped.
It's kept me erect this whole time.
So we're going to talk about the reveal of the Superman, like our first look.
James Gunn's Superman.
For the new DCU.
Superman, what is it? Superman Legacy, right?
Yeah.
I think they dropped the Legacy.
Yeah.
Oh,
they did?
Yeah, James and Coke.
But before we talk about the suit itself, I know it's not surprising that there's controversy because
it's the internet.
Yeah, I mean, over everything, but just the fact that people are reading so much into the picture, like, what is he doing?
It pisses me off.
Everything's going on around him, and like he's just putting his boot on all nonchalant.
Like, yeah, that's like really? The first thing like, I said to someone. I won't name names, but. No. But yeah, I was like, oh, the world's ending and you're putting on suits on. But like I was saying to you guys, like, he works at super speed. That could be a fucking millisecond of, like, and I almost like that idea of it's like, no. He's getting ready quickly, but, like, within his, like, not speed force, but within his, like, perception, he's going to make sure that boot's on right. I mean, could you imagine trying to save the world and your boots trip? All fucking kinked up or there's a fucking rock in it or something?
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Maybe he's got flat feet and he's got to put, like, a orthopedic in there.
Yeah, we don't know everything about Kryptonians. Yeah. I said gracefully.
Yeah, maybe he has a thumb coming out the back of his foot.
A super thumb.
And he has to, like, easily, gently put that boot on.
That'd be
you don't know.
That'd be interesting. Like, everything also, about them is very human except their fucking feet.
Isn't this pose in this picture sort of kind of like a wink to Alex Ross at the same time? Because doesn't he have like a version of paintings, you know, with like Batman on the bed, you know, with the shirt off and, you know, and all that stuff. And then you have
say it slow.
Like,
I don't know, but Superman that sounds sexy.
Say it slow.
You have Superman sitting there, like in a chair with like the lamp next to him or something like that.
Maybe
because I could be wrong, but it's you should go back to the screen that you were just in.
While we're searching for this. Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Like he can't just chill.
Yeah,
he can just unwind, have some breakfast liqueur, and
yeah.
Okay. Can he get drunk?
That's something we need to throw up on the video because that looks like Superman had a bad day right there. But it also reminds me of Superman All Stars, which was art by Frank Quitely, and fuck me, I don't remember who wrote.
I mean, if it'll help you remember, pull him down.
Ross Marquand? No.
No.
I'm just throwing names down now.
Anyway, but part of the art of Superman All-Stars was this idea that someone who is bulletproof and super strong like Superman wouldn't pose.
Oh, I gotcha.
Like, wouldn't be a poser in that way because it's like he can just do it. And was Frank Quitely the writer? Oh, Grant. Grant fucking Morrison. Grant Morrison. I remember that. Jesus. Yeah, so Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely. So a lot of the art in that series was that idea of Superman would be very relaxed because it's like he doesn't need to puff up and be ready to like take thing. The muscle or like take the bullets or whatever. He just does it. So true. It kind of reminds me of that. And I think James Gunn mentioned Superman All-Stars as part of the inspiration for Superman Legacy.
Yeah, he kept... I remember him showing...
The movie formerly known as Superman Legacy.
I remember him showing that photo there, and then Rudy will have to put that up later.
The cover of Superman All-Stars.
Yeah.
And it's also... It's just supposed to be a reveal of the suit, which, you know, that's what he gave us. But I feel like a lot of people... Like what the internet does, you know, somebody spitball this thing and they kind of poke fun at it and then it just snowballs.
Yeah.
And then I think everybody else joined on and, you know, then they started it. Because you look at everybody that's talking about, oh, his suit has wrinkles. I'm like, this is a picture of a dude sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
You're not going to see that. In the movie, you know,
or maybe we should.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Like it's gonna have wrinkles. Like,
yeah.
Do you guys remember The Amazing Spider-Man 2? The cool opening. Oh, you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen The Amazings. I don't know why.
It's. I think it's one of my favorite Spider-Man swinging sequences. It felt like very realistic, the physics and everything, but also
you see the fabric,
the costume. Yeah, the back of it's like rippling and shit like that.
Oh, that's
like,
awesome. Yeah,
because it looks like a skydiver. You know, like
that's right.
Jumped out of a plane, and you got that angle in the back, and you just see like the.
I don't mind wrinkles, you know, like makes the suit feel real, you know, like the Homecoming Spider-Man, the Tom Holland Spider-Man, like it's all cool, but it's a CG fucking suit.
Yeah.
You know, like it's all super smooth and like it looks great, but you know, I don't know, something about like a wrinkle just makes it feel real.
I will say that the suit has elements of other suits.
Does.
Oh, should we break them down? There's like three big ones.
Go for it.
New 52 for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the color.
And the cape.
Because you have the Kingdom Come S.
Minus the black.
And I'm going to be the one to say, I actually like that he has boots.
Yeah.
Like, how did Cavill get in his suit? There weren't no boots.
Oh, Cavill didn't have boots? Okay.
But it was like paint. It wasn't technically like a boot. It was like attached to the suit.
Oh, interesting.
It was just a whole one piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like a good boot.
It's a lot like the new 52 suit because it's got the lineage, like a lot of the lines, but it does have trunks.
Yeah.
And like, and to your point, it's got the boots, which I think the new 52 book, the new 52 suit had boots.
Does this one have underwear? I didn't see.
It looks like it. Yeah. I think if you zoom in, you can see the trunks.
But it's just supposed to be a tease because we all know James Gunn did that poll, you know, where he asked the fans, do you want trunks or do you not want trunks? You know, and I believe trunks won. So
cool.
It's really just supposed to be a tease. And I don't know if you guys remember, but the same thing happened when Zack Snyder shared his first image of Superman where he was in the, remember the scene where he had like the
bank vault.
Yeah, the bank.
Yeah, yeah.
People complain. Did they really tear it up? Yeah, like they.
But see, now at least the toxic Snyder fans are on the internet, like sharing that was like the most amazing reveal ever, and this is absolute garbage compared to that. Which rant. We're all Snyder fans here. Like we love the Snyderverse. We love like everything that Zack Snyder does.
I'm on camera, bro.
But the toxicity that comes from this Save the Snyderverse people, like fuck off.
As far as like a suit reveal, I think the one that had, and I could be completely wrong, usually am, is Batfleck's suit. I think everyone was like jizzing in their jeans. I don't know if anyone really hated it, maybe mentioning the ears. I remember a lot of people loving the short ears. Just the overall look of it, it was like, whoa.
I think there was a little bit of like, that's the Daredevil cowl again or some bullshit. Really? Yeah, because of the short ears. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I do remember.
I loved it.
Before Ben Affleck's bat suit was revealed. Kevin Smith came out and was like, I saw it. And he was like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
It's a cool look. That's always been a conversation. Long ears or short ears?
Yeah. But Zack Snyder really knows what he's fucking doing. Everyone else fucking sucks.
What do you think is going on in the background of that picture, by the way, with Superman?
Just some Photoshop shit.
Yeah, just some shit. Maybe Brainiac. I don't know.
Some people were complaining that it was AI.
God.
It's Brainiac. Yeah, it's artificial intelligence.
Being image generator, alien invasion.
I thought it was like a Super Saiyan doing something back there, you know, finally going to battle Goku.
Because it's Goku and Vegeta doing their command.
Oh, yeah. It is AI. Alien Invasion.
This fucking guy. You give him 3 hours of sleep, pull some shit out of his ass.
You're doing it, Peter.
I'm a little punch. I'm you're a little punch drunk.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Want to get real drunk? So,
we're probably. Mm-hmm. So, verdict. Do we love it?
I love it. I love it. I fucking love it. Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's great. No, we got to see it in motion and everything like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think he said that it's in camera shot. It's dirty and stuff. So it's like, it was just kind of interesting because it's dirty and he's putting his boots on or taking them off. But then that shit's happening behind him. So it's like, it kind of implies that, like, yeah, Superman's job's never fucking done. Like, he probably just finished a day of saving a bunch of people and now he's got to put those boots back on and go save the world from this invasion.
He's like, I just finished getting my ass kicked by Batman. Now I got to go deal with this.
Yeah.
And he's 6'4".
The lies we have to tell ourselves sometimes.
Hey, I'm 6'4". Does that do it for you? I'm also not hot.
What else are we talking about?
Oh, so in true Star Wars art fashion, Star Wars, Celebration 2025, the premier convention for Star Wars and all things Star Wars related.
And it's one of the few conventions that travels. It's not always in the same spot.
Which
I didn't know that.
Pisses me off to no end because when it's not in Anaheim, I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss it this year. The last one was in Anaheim, I believe. Yes. Yeah. But, and again, this year it's traveling, but it's in Japan this year. And most of the Hypertag has tickets.
Mm-hmm.
We're going 2025, Japan, Tokyo, get ready.
Yeah.
Another god is coming.
Hey, you guys are posting.
Hypezilla.
You guys are posting about it. And I was like, I'm always like half present. I go, oh, fuck. Was I supposed to get tickets for this? Thinking that it was like in Anaheim again. And I saw like Japan. I go, oh, I don't make that much mosquito money. Like, it's definitely not happening.
I will smuggle your ass in my luggage.
Is that what you call your ass?
I mean, luckily right now, Japan's, other than that, Japan's cheap.
Hmm. Your level upstairs people cheap or downstairs people cheap?
No, I mean, it's like
for the people cheap.
Yeah. What was it? We spent 3 nights in Kyoto, and I think that hotel room was like $15 each.
Whoa,
for the 3 nights. I mean, I got mad and got my own hotel, but even then, my own nice hotel for 2 nights was $90.
So doable over there. So yeah, we're doable. Getting together after this. Are you coming?
See, yeah, we're gonna make you come so hard after this,
and then we'll discuss travel.
Yeah. It's time to come together.
We gotta clear his mind, yeah. So he'd like you know, calm that ADHD down. Like, we might have to make him come like 4 times to get through the whole conversation.
But, you know, do it a 5th time just to make sure.
What's the Japanese term for that, for post nut clarity?
Well, there's a nerd.
No, there's an absolute term. Yeah. Hold on,
that's awesome.
Hold for research.
Real, real classy here at the Hypertag Podcast. Yeah.
Stay classy, San Diego.
Kenja Taimu?
Yep. Kenja Taimu.
That's Kenja awesome. Taimu. Yeah. I make all my best decisions. Not really. I don't make any decisions these days. I'm just afraid of it all. Oh, man.
The Japanese word for for post-orgasm, for the post-orgasm period in which we can think clearly because the mind is free of sexual desire.
How long does that period last, by the way? For me, it's like 3 minutes, 5 maybe, and then I'm like, well, maybe bad thoughts again.
Now that I'm older, it gives me a couple. Yeah, it almost gives me a couple days sometimes, I think.
Oh, man, that's a good one then, huh?
Most of my clarity is just the shame spiral.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, that was it? That's what's getting you there? Yes, we're going to Japan next year, 2025, and I'm excited for it. These two assholes, Jermaine and Doug, they went.
It's getting emotional.
They went this year.
Yeah, that was fun. We made it right before the Gundam.
Yeah,
because that was my dream trip for me. Anyways, that was like my destination that I've always wanted to go to. Finally, it was everything and some that I ever wanted.
Yeah, it's one of the first times. I mean, like a couple of years ago, I went to Chicago, and when I was there, I was like, oh man, I definitely want to come back. But Japan was certainly like almost as soon as I got there, I was like, I'm planning my next trip immediately.
Dude, it looked like a blast.
Yeah, it was really cool, and I think there's so much more to explore, and we definitely like hit it hard and fast, and hit like as much like touristy spots as possible. But I'm excited to get back and like. kind of slow down and just take it all in.
Stay in the hotspots.
Oh, we're staying in Shinjuku. We were staying at least like 3 or 4
more
nights.
More so like in the outskirts, you know, okay. So you kind
of
had to.
Well, I was going to say, because like speaking of like hitting hard and fast, you get, well, Jermaine, you were talking to me about like the red light district and how cheap the prostitutes were, how much fun it was.
Me?
It was like 3-on-1, the lady boys, like it was just a blast. It's not taboo out there. I'm on board, man. Yeah, it's not cheating if you're eating. I mean, it was really cheap. Really fun.
The best part about it was really cheap for me and Dan to buy the people hallway spots for that. It was amazing.
Oh man. The sushi though.
Is that what you call it?
Anyway.
Fur sushi. What? Sir gun.
Yeah. So Star Wars Celebration, I think the last one in Anaheim was the first one I went to. And it was pretty cool. I mean, I got super drunk. It was awesome. I found this, like, they had a bar cart, and I found this guy working in. I was like, hey, you know, Jack and Coke or whatever. And I love him. He's like, oh, it's supposed to be one shot, but watch, my friend, amigo, watch. and he's like, he pours a shot of Jack Daniels and pours it. But as he's pouring it into my glass, he's still pouring from the bottle. Yeah. And he's like, I got you. I was like, fuck, yes. And then he's like, the little, like, hey, and here's your Coke.
Boop. Oh, God.
I got like 4 or 5 of those. It was amazing. Yeah. Damn. So, I mean, I don't know if Japan Star Wars Celebration is going to be like that, but looking forward to it.
I don't like doing things sober. I mean, we drink every time we do this show. Like, the worst episode we've done yet was we were all sober. You know, we have to drink to enjoy stuff.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit. I mean, I hit a point where I'm just like, let me tell you.
Roll the clips.
I'm just looking forward to being like a giant amongst the natives, just wading through people. Like
you wear pants
at a normal convention. Like you're you know, being jostled by the crowd. Like, I can't wait to be that guy and be like, excuse me, excuse me. And just parting the sea like the Titanic.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
We got to have a camera underneath it. You see this guy wearing basketball shorts. God damn. Go back to dirty.
Wow, you guys are really giving me some fucking editing work to do on this one.
Sorry.
Just the intro.
Yup.
But right. So what are we here for, guys?
The fucking...
I forgot.
X-Men. I'll say it right now.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. The best superhero content we've gotten on screen in a very long time.
Since I'd say so.
Same right now. I said it.
Damn.
Easily.
I said it.
No. Whoa. The writing has been amazing with this show.
I still can't believe they let him go, the director, you know, whoever, like, before it even dropped. I still need to do a deep dive into all that stuff to say, like, why he got fired or let go.
He must have pissed off someone because, yeah, it's
Tell me good. Who got fired? What?
The guy that wrote the show.
Whoa.
Like, wasn't, 2 days before it really, like, it came out or something.
Wasn't, like, the original creator, too?
Oh, I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I didn't look up those fun facts. I got, like, show notes.
It's really good, and it shows to me that, like, how much I think that the superhero content works so well at these, like, 30-minute intervals.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of filler, mm-hmm. But they're still saying so much. There's still a lot of growth. Like,
and they leave you hanging with those cliffhangers at the end. Oh, God, like,
yes.
Even with having that many characters on the team, I don't know how many, but there's so many characters, and they do. There's some episodes where it's obviously, like, you know, you're following an A plot and a B plot, sometimes a C plot, but for the most part, whatever they're locking in on, it's very rich in story, mm-hmm. and character arc, and I think what's most important about that with X-Men 97 is, let's see, the first show ran from 92 to 90. Yeah, 96.
I'm assuming 96. Yeah,
math. We're not talking on the show, but I think
mathematics.
And I have it somewhere. There's a quote from like one of the head writers about basically how they approached the show, especially at a certain point. Because in the first half of the season, you're on board with like the nostalgia and all of that from, you know, basically all of us being a kid watching the show, and then a certain thing happens in the show. Obviously, we're going to hit spoilers, but the whole Genosha attack, and that, after that, the whole show's tone completely fucking changes. Like, and you keep thinking, like, wow, this show can't be any better than the original 92 to 96. And then it does, even within like the first two episodes, it hits like so many, it will go into them, but hits so many plot points. You're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Or it's like, how do you top that episode?
And then it does.
You're just like,
And so right now, as of this recording, we are waiting for the last episode to come out.
Oh, is there one more?
Yep. Yeah. Next week.
Oh, man.
And
we'll definitely have to talk about that the beginning of next episode.
Because you said to yourself, you're like, the fucking cliffhangers. There's no lighthearted cliffhangers. There's some fucking heavy, heavy cliffhangers. I choked up in some episodes, man.
I appreciate like what you were saying. At first, there was certainly some nostalgia, but they were also really mixing it up. Mm-hmm. So there was nostalgia, but mix up, right? Magneto was leading the school, and you were growing to like Magneto. He was kind of growing to take on this kind of really good guy role. And then by the end, like we've seen, we're back to that point. We're back to Professor X is back, spoiler. And Magneto's like a bad dude again.
Super bad now.
Yeah. Like, and so I feel like it's such a good way to kind of do this, right? Because everyone's calling for more of the old cartoons from back in our day to do this now, right? Like people have already said Justice League should do this. And I'm going to sidetrack myself here, which I love James Gunn's response to that. I don't know if you guys saw it, because someone suggested like, oh, let's like look at the success of X-Men 97. Like we need to do this with Justice League, you know, tag James Gunn. And James Gunn said like, look, X-Men 97 is doing really well because it's doing something so unique and it's not trying to copy anybody else. We don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Like we don't want to then go copy someone else and try to recreate that same thing. And I know people have been calling like the old Spider-Man cartoon should do the same thing or whatever. And I mean, part of me like would love to see maybe some old cartoons continued. But anyway, my point was that I think this was such a cool way to do it, that they brought it back with nostalgia, but it was something different, at least for a little bit, and it caught our interest. And then they're gonna bring it back to what we really know, but it all makes sense. It's done really, really well.
To what you said before, as far as you know, it didn't copy anyone else. To be specific, it just improved on what it was already doing with the original shows. I have to go back and watch those 5 years.
Yeah, I'd love to go through that sometime.
Because, again, you guys are a few years older than me. And so when the show came out, you were like, you know, more of a form of human being that could like take in the storylines and shit like that. And I was 2 years old going on 6 years old throughout the whole thing. So I'm like, colors. You know, I wasn't a smart child. barely getting there. But it took what it was already doing and then just somehow fucking improved on it.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, like it's one of those things. So when I heard that it was coming back, like I was kind of like,
oh yeah,
man, if they fuck this up, just cause
I don't subscribe.
Cause it's one of those things too, where yes, I was hyped about it because it was coming back, but you know, but at the same time, you know, that too, but I'm like, what are you guys gonna say? Like, what are you guys gonna do? Yep. Like, are you guys just bringing it back just to bring it back, you know, or are you guys adding, gonna just add more to what you know was already there? And man, what they've given us so far, I am definitely grateful,
yeah,
because it has given me everything. And some
to add to that a little bit, like when they announced it was coming back, I really didn't expect that much from it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, it was a cool show. And I'm like, okay, it's going to be, they're going to try to hit those marks again. And like, okay, like, hopefully they do it. But I'm like, okay, cool, another cartoon. And then watching episode after episode, I'm like, holy shit. Yeah. Holy shit. This last episode, holy shit.
Not one bit did it feel like a kid's cartoon, a kid's show.
I have comments on that. But
and the attention to detail of when you, when people point things out about the intro, like if you guys aren't paying attention, like the Jean Grey, you know, how like,
swapped out Madeline.
She, you know, like how they swapped her and then like, you know, even Storm and her character. And
some and intros then, have like the Phoenix.
And then Gambit, you know, just.
Yeah, disrespectful. Oh, Gambit died. Out of the fucking intro. Here comes Nightcrawler.
Magneto was like once he started leading the team, he was
I do love
at the top.
He should just stay in his underwear, though.
I do love that. Everybody's going to be Magneto for Halloween this year.
Oh, I'm getting the Speedos and the white wig. I'll be fucking...
We have to do like Magneto. A whole thing where like there's a rig that you're like bolted into and we just cart you around.
Just cart the X. Yeah, absolutely. Look, if people want Henry Cavill to be Magneto, you've been hearing about that?
No.
Oh, really?
Jesus. Oh, he's been...
They want him to be everything.
Yeah.
To be
busiest man in Hollywood. Yeah,
yeah. All I'm saying is that if they do make him into Magneto, can we get that scene where he's in his Speedos and he's just strapped up and stuff?
Would you be like yelling at the theater? Come to me, my Magneto.
What's his name? Pierce
Brosnan.
I did see that too. Yeah,
a lot of people. He has like long hair now, so they're like.
You have to look.
Everyone's coming off the. Was it Dr. Fate?
Yeah.
Oh. Him in a helmet probably looked.
God,
pretty.
He did so good at Dr. Fate.
Yeah, I dug that. Yeah, yeah. That, he didn't get a lot enough credit for that.
No,
role. I don't want to go off on that tangent.
I just really like what they're doing with the characters, but going back to Magneto, how he came in and his costume, of course, is different, and he doesn't have his helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's trying.
Oh, there was a helmet
to do better. Like you just see that he's. That, you know, because he's taken over this team and he had history with them, you know, good
to
and
put
bad.
It lightly,
and some history with a rogue.
To put it
but
heavily.
It's just one of those things to just see him after all that he's been through twice in a lifetime.
Yeah,
if you know, Magneto's backstory and him trying, and then him
if
going
you believe
to trial.
Him.
And then you get there and you're sitting there like, man, just when Magneto got released and he went to the North Pole, I lost my shit when that shit happened.
Oh, yeah. I started laughing when you brought up the new costume because I saw the most ridiculous comment on, oh, am I freezing out?
Oh,
God damn it, Isaac.
I didn't do it.
So, yeah, I'm reading this report here. Marvel Studios fired the creator, Bo DeMaio.
Okay.
The creator of the new series. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think he had anything to do with the previous one. He did writing work for Moon Knight. He's worked on The Witcher and Star Trek Strange New Worlds. But apparently he was fired, like, I think, like a week.
Yeah, it was right before.
Or like
the
a
drop.
Week before.
Whoa.
And no one commented on it. Like, and they're still not commenting on it, apparently. But he wrote the first season. Well, he's credited with writing the first season, and apparently he already had the season two loaded, and they were negotiating season three.
Whoa.
And then you know, the split. But then, continuing on to the bottom of this article, he deleted his Instagram account, which featured regular updates about his work with Marvel. Also, no longer active is his free, non-explicit OnlyFans account.
Okay, so you touch somebody.
So I wonder if that had anything to do. I mean, they throw it in there as an aside because like it's not the focus of the article, but he had a non-explicit OnlyFans account.
There apparently. Are some like allegations floating around that hasn't come out yet.
And that apparently that was shut down as
Whoa.
Well.
Whoa.
Interesting. Yeah, that sucks.
I hate it here.
Don't send unsolicited dick pics. Moving on.
That's crazy.
But I mean, his writing is really good. So,
yeah, him and his team knock it out of the park.
Yeah,
we at least have one more season to look forward to
of the good stuff
of that before.
And then we'll get writing and directing from someone that doesn't have an explicit OnlyFans. I mean. By the way, the Hypatech OnlyFans is killing it,
dude. I don't know if I can keep doing that. It's starting to hurt.
We're not to the biggest one yet, though.
No, we're not.
We got to hit that really one at least first, once we get those tips.
Yeah, like we've hinted at like, what am I doing? I'm not doing that.
We're joking. Totally joking. Just joshing, y'all.
Don't even search joshing. For it.
But if I relax, the chair will disappear.
Holy crap, is that a website? What?
Oh, well,
that's sipping cream, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, we sip some cream.
Jermaine, bring us back.
Watch for Hive Tech after hours.
He chugs this. Okay, Doug, you had
something to go to. The comment about Magneto's new costume at the beginning of this series, I was laughing so hard. It was Twitter. It was probably Threads because I'm not on Twitter. It was probably Threads where someone said, "Oh, what's with the giant M on Magneto's costume?" Right, mm-hmm. And they were commentingly negative on it, like saying it was really bad. But the first response was like, "It stands for Magneto." And I was just cracking up. Just that. I wish I could remember who said it, because just to give him credit, because it's like, yeah, that's fucking awesome.
I think it's one of the more interesting costume choices out of everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when I was researching about the show itself. Because I do believe
it's from the comics.
That's an actual costume, right? I don't think they've done any
everyone's departures. That's exactly it. Everyone's costumes, all the designs, everything is from the comics in one way and some way or another. So
speaking of costumes, this last episode, right? They suddenly switched back into their old costumes. Did they give a reason? Did I miss out? Did I veg out for a while or something?
Okay. I think it's just for
the mansion was destroyed.
To answer that, the mansion was destroyed, and Jean mentions that they're moving to a previous base for supplies and gear.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, so they're and as they move into that, you see like the Batman display of all their previous costumes.
Yeah.
That's...
That makes sense. Because they didn't have their costumes on when shit went down.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's cool. She was...
Because it makes sense because we did see Professor X go to the mansion and find out that he lost his chair.
Yeah.
He fixed it, though.
Hover chair.
He had it fixed.
Yeah.
What was her fucking her superhero name when she was dressed as that? Was like something Marvel, Lady Marvel. Oh, or some shit. It was
something. Cool. Right?
Sorry,
Jean Grey.
Jean Grey. Yeah.
Miss Marvel.
No.
Marvel Girl. Was it
Marvel Girl.
Marvel Girl.
Yeah. They really went through it. There was like a Captain Marvel and a Miss Marvel and a Marvel Girl and.
Let's just have a whole movie with it.
Yeah. The alien named Mar-Vell.
Yeah. Jesus.
I did like seeing Wolverine get back to that.
Oh, that was delicious. That was so delicious.
That was a giddy.
I will say that it was awesome.
Cable.
Yeah.
It was finally also kind of cool that this cartoon didn't focus on Wolverine so much. Because I feel like the movies Hugh Jackman did just such a good job. And Wolverine is a badass character. But it was cool that I think that this cartoon took the opportunity to kind of like highlight some of the other characters.
Speaking of the movies and then speaking of the costumes, that line that was thrown in there in the last episode.
Cyclops,
so fucking good.
Money.
I was taking a bath while I was watching the last episode. So I had the iPad propped up and I'm sitting in the tub.
That's not watching all my
trying to soak away.
Did they, keep the candles away from the,
trying to soak away my back pain. And he said that line. I went, I was surprised Rachel didn't come running into it, like, what happened? It was such just an outward like explosion of
it was good.
That's awesome.
So good.
I do like Cyclops' attitude in this series. Like I do have to give it to the
writer. Okay, yeah. So before we jump into the episodes and kind of like work on the beats of what we liked and didn't like or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone didn't like
it. There was nothing I didn't like.
They finally put respect on my boy Cyclops' name.
Yeah, they did.
I have been Team Cyclops since I started reading the comics.
Real talk. He had to clap for that.
It wasn't my hands.
He's getting good.
I got Cyclops up there on top of the trophy case representing. It's fine. But like, and oh my god! Ever since the live action movies, I was like, fuck yeah, we're gonna get Cyclops, and then just the fuckboy job they did with him through the entire live action. And I'm like, no, this is not Cyclops.
Yeah.
This is not Cyclops. And that first episode where they show him just putting in work on the Friends of Humanity.
The fighting was awesome. The fighting was fucking amazing.
That's when they did that badass superhero landing, right? That was that first episode.
Yeah. I just love the dialogue. End of it. Like just him saying that phrase to me, my X-Men, I was like,
oh yeah.
To me, my X-Men. I love his voice in the series too, and I always have. I don't know if I'm right or not, but is this the same guy who does the voice for the game too? Sounds like the same guy.
Oh, the video game?
Yeah, for all the Marvel verses.
I'm not 100% sure on that one.
Well, real quick, speaking of the voices, like most of all the cast came back except for...
The ones who fucking died.
There's the ones that died. And then the guy who did Professor X retired from voice acting.
Oh, did he?
And so the guy who's doing his voice is kind of known for doing like impersonations. And I think he does a couple of other character voices. I don't have all the details down, but he does a couple of the other character voices in the show. And then, you know, was it Jubilee, the actress? I had her name down somewhere. I think Allison something. She was like, no, I, you know, now in today's era, you're like, you got to have an actual Asian actress playing an Asian character.
But she did come back to do older Jubilee, right?
Yeah, which is super cool. So yeah, I was happy about that.
That superhero landing caused a big hubbub on the internet because people, you know, assumed that Cyclops' power is laser, meaning light, orientated, so light would not slow down his momentum.
Oh, right.
And that led me into researching his power, which I learned a lot. I don't know. I mean, you guys probably know more than I do.
Because I was surprised that not a lot of people... Well, let me retract that. A lot of people thought that it was like you know, like Superman. Like heat vision or...
Shooting lasers.
Something like that. So it's...
Fucking lasers.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things where I knew, because I used to read the comics and I was up on game with Cyclops, but that his ability came from a different dimension. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his eyes are like portals to another dimension, right?
They're not.
Oh, okay.
That's
right. That's been debunked.
That that was a nod to like one of those volumes where it has like the characters and all their powers and all that stuff. Like someone wrote like an obscure journal that's what it was, and it wasn't. And that whole America Chavez thing,
where she opens America Chavez portal, went to that.
That's
right?
A nod to that.
Oh,
but it's his power is to absorb energy, light mostly, solar radiation, and then converts that into his optic blast.
It's like Superman.
So then it couldn't slow down his.
But it's concussive force.
Oh,
it's not because it's not a direct.
It's not
like he takes that energy and directs it into concussive blast
because
that's not as much light. Fun. I think the idea that so it's the science dimension lied to
me. Because if it was like an actual laser, and speaking of the opening scene where you get to see him fight the FOH was again the Friends of Humanity, and he does a move where he blasts himself away, flips around, and then one of the dudes is gonna like kick him, and he blasts him in the leg. Otherwise, it would have blown his fucking leg off. I mean, you know,
it just should have.
And it. That thing where, like, he uses it to propel himself, and where usually where he's shooting something and it doesn't propel him back, he has what they call a double mutant ability from his gene. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just one optic blast. He also generates a psionic field around himself that he can control that allows him to, like, interact with the concussive blast. The best example being where he closes his eyes and it doesn't come out.
Yeah.
Like, if he didn't have something, like, his eyelids aren't ruby quartz. Mm-hmm. Like, if it wasn't some kind of secondary mutation holding that blast back when he closes his eyes, then it would just be, you know, a laser show every day.
Yeah,
he would have blew his eyelids off.
And this is to pull from Doug a couple episodes ago. You know, because we want our powers to make sense.
Well, they also touch on it where...
Yeah. I swear to God, go back. I said, I don't know. It was more like, we want our powers to make sense.
Yeah, there's a thing.
I'm kidding, I'm kidding. No, it was a really well stated
thing. They do touch on that secondary mutation in the Genosha episode where they find Emma Frost and she's in her diamond form.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Like, shine bright like a diamond.
And they mention it like, oh, this is something we've never seen from her before. Like, that's a thing.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, and like Rogue obviously has that, right? Because Rogue's main power is stealing... Like sapping power from someone, right? But then she can fly and have super strength and everything, right? That would be a secondary.
When she was on Magneto's team, when they first met, she was technically like a bad guy. She was instructed to absorb, speaking of Captain Marvel, her powers, Carol Danvers' powers, and she held on way too long because usually she never does that. She only just does a little tappy tap to absorb some stuff. And she did so long that she permanently absorbed
her
powers. God, I think actually stealing her powers.
Jesus Christ. X-Men shit is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Man. Because what was, like, Stan Lee, didn't he say, like, like this is more one of his more lazy creations, like the mutant stuff.
Yeah, just let him be born with it. Just let him be born with it rather than trying to create an origin story.
At the end of the day, like it works so fucking well. Mm-hmm. Like, because you don't have to bog down your story with like some complicated powers origins, and you can focus on character origin and
zapped by that. Yeah,
and then shit like that. Like, that's so cool. Anyway.
Where were
episode one.
We started talking about it.
Well, Cyclops, all his stuff was pretty much, you know, episode one, so we can continue from that. So we're reintroduced to the Sentinels because the Friends of Humanity group is using, you know, Sentinel technology to create problems. That's where we get introduced into Roberto Sunspot. And I kind of forgotten he was part of the X-Men family until... like they reintroduce him here. I'm like, oh yeah, he's a character.
Sunspot?
Yeah.
I know that in the movies, in Days of Future Past, in the beginning, he's on the team.
Is he?
Yeah.
I will say this right now. There's a mobile card game called Marvel Snap, which, because I didn't read a lot of Marvel characters. And this guy, I met him a few times. He's the one that like runs that company, Ben Brode from, he did Hearthstone and Blizzard. He did Marvel Snap, but if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't know most of these characters because I didn't read a lot of Marvel. And like after playing that game, like I feel
it's a lot of characters.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I feel so connected. Like anytime, like as soon as Sunspot showed up, it's like I use him in my deck because it's a mobile like trading card game. And so I was like, oh yeah, I use Sunspot in my deck. Like this guy is Sunspot. I know him. Every turn he gains a power or whatever the fuck it was. I forget.
When they finally go to Genosha and like a couple episodes into the show, and it's like, you know, it's a haven and it's beautiful and all the mutants are there. They didn't just throw random mutants in there. Like I had to look into it, see like Easter egg of like all the mutants in the background. Like they're all coming from somewhere. Also, didn't know that there's like the mutants that are ugly and they have to, what do they call the Morlocks, the ones that have to kind of like stay underground.
Good.
There's that transparent gooey like guy.
The downstairs X-Men?
Yeah.
The basement.
Because you have the X-Men that, you know, their mutations are, you know, power-based or whatever, and it doesn't affect their appearance. And then you have the ones that, you know, look like the Morlocks.
Yeah.
I will say that I love how they're using Morph, how he's, like, transforming into different people that we know that exist in the Marvel Universe. And it would make sense.
Did he have that power in the original series? Did they have that power in the original series?
Yes.
I don't remember him transforming into other characters and using their abilities.
Well, I mean, that's his whole thing is transforming. But I was curious about the ability thing. Like, because in this last episode, they morphed into the Hulk.
Yeah.
And was hulking around. It's like, well, this might be the most powerful fucking X-Men. This might be the most powerful hero ever if he can just do that.
I'm not too familiar with Morph. I know for sure... Mystique can transform into people, but she can't use their abilities.
Correct.
So, like, if she has Wolverine's claws, you know, those aren't real adamantium claws.
But it's hot flesh.
Morph might be totally different.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but like I said, I just like how they're utilizing him in this.
Yeah, it says here he can approximate their powers. So, for the most part, he can use some stuff.
Nice. Like, we have to go rewatch the original series, but I don't remember him like explicitly turning into someone else and then being able to use, you know.
They killed him off early, and he was taken over by Sinister. That's kind of like shown in the intro and some of the spots, and that's why he has like all that information about Sinister. And then I guess they kind of retroactively brought him back because he was such a good addition, especially being like a friend to Wolverine, and he needed that, like their little, you know.
I do vaguely remember in the original series that they went on a mission and the team went and like Morph got left back like immediately, like in that first episode or something like that.
Well, he got took out by a Sentinel.
Wolverine was pissed.
But when they did Rogue, bring it back, Rogue had that awesome line where it's like, Morph was on the team for 30 minutes before they died. Thus an episode of a cartoon.
I wish I did more research and like try to capture some of those quotes because there's a lot of good fucking lines in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the end of episode one, they find a, you know, a master mold that's kind of like buried and hidden away and kind of janky. Did we think that was going to be the end of the Sentinels for that? They were just like a reintroduction and kind of a throwaway villain?
I thought so, but once... I mean, well, as far as like those Sentinels, I don't know. It seemed too easy because when they had the good cop, bad cop routine with Cyclops and what's his name? Gyrick? Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Right? And then Jean Grey sort of like senses something else. And if you break down some of those visions, you're like, okay, the Sentinels are still going to be part of this, you know, overall.
I do like that they're bringing the Sentinels back and all this stuff. And humanity is using, you know, Sentinel tech to fight against mutants, which
making them less human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, my mind just went blank, but it reminded me of Gargoyles, the Goliath Chronicles, when he had to go through all that stuff where, you know, they were kind of fighting for their place in existence. Like mankind knew that they existed, but now they were hunting them. So they had to go through all that stuff to try to fight for their place in this world. Mm. And that's exactly what's going on right now within the X-Men 97 series. And I kind of dig it.
Gyrick even says, and it's such a strong fucking quote, and it's later used for the last three episodes, that tolerance is extinction. Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of like the overall theme of the show. It's, they can't just like stand back. What?
Is also the title of the last three episodes, Tolerance is Extinction, part one, two, and three.
I just said that right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did you? That's an edit.
that's an edit.
All I heard was the title. That's an edit. I didn't know you said that.
Sounds like Scruffy.
Someone fucking distracted me over there with the goddamn finger.
Hold up. If he leaves, everybody else is fuck up in there.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no. Like I said,
I just said that, Cam.
Yeah. I'll put that in there.
I will say the Sentinels, they are such a classic villain, and we grew up watching them. But we got a taste of it in the live action, right? Like their training room. Yeah.
You got
fucking tease.
Yeah, it was a tease, Dinklage, but I still wonder if. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right. I still wonder if. Like a live action Sentinel would really translate well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
yes.
In cartoon and comic form,
it's amazing, right?
It's fine. I can get over that, you know, huge ass Sentinels and like, you know, regular sized humans taking these big things out. But I don't know if the proportion would look right in a live action.
Yeah, scenario. See, and that's what I'm getting at. It's like
looking at Galactus is kind of that proportion is more. Like far out there.
Mm. Oh yeah, that's gonna be. I'm very curious what they're gonna do with that because they announced.
Oh, the voice. Yeah.
If you follow our Instagram, it was posted.
Days of Future Past is where they explored more of the Sentinels because they had the Prime Sentinels in the beginning, and then you get
those movies are such a blur to me at this point.
They really, really are.
So,
I didn't like their design.
So. The episode ends with Magneto coming in announcing that he's the new headmaster and fuck out of my way. How do we feel about that?
Oh, that was a good ending to that first episode. You know, that he said that Charles left everything to me, including you.
It planted the seed, this sort of subtle through line of everyone then becomes annoyed at Charles. Because he's supposed to be the father figure,
yeah. Which is such an awkward dynamic because he's also dead in their head, and
but it's kind of because it's for what we know later on, it makes sense. But it's just one of those things. Like you have Magneto here, who is kind of like a stepfather figure, you know, for mutant kind in a sense,
yeah.
But it's one of his things, regardless if you were a enemy to Magneto, you're a mutant. He's always going to be true. On your side no matter what.
Yeah.
You know? So it's one of those things. When he came back, I was, oh, man, this is going to be so interesting to see how they handle each other and as they move forward.
I honestly thought that they were going to lean in more on, you know, them hating him for his past And I'm kind of happy that they didn't do that because it felt like it was going to be like an easy beat to hit. But, you know, in episode two is basically like his redemption and him really visually trying to hold back his usual tendencies.
Because where you have the trial of Magneto, like it's...
So good.
It...
But real, sorry, real quick though, but I what it does illustrate though is that his love for Charles is so much more stronger than his interest in his crusade, his own crusade. So
that's like his, you know, like even though they have differences in on how they should move forward, it's he will always have love regardless of, you know, their differences. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things. And just in the trial that he went through, and they named, you know, all the things that he was doing, you know, wrong and what he did, you know, in the past, but how he just took those people up into the air and was like, look, I'm trying here. I just want you guys to know, like, I could end you easily, but I'm trying.
Well, specifically he takes the judges and the executioner. 'Cause that was the whole thing. I'm just going to call it the FOH. Why can't I remember their name?
Friends Against Humanity.
Fans Against Humanity. What's it again?
Friends
Cards of Against Humanity. Mutants. Okay, so the FOH. So he takes them up into the clouds, and then he says this really fucking deep line. He's like, how vast it is versus how small we make it, as far as like looking at the world. And it's such a commentary on like everything going on today, right? It, you know, I don't know if you guys ever, not to take it down this like deep route, but like you ever gone on a hike on a mountain and you look down and you go, wow. Like, I live amongst there, and we really do make this small. But just being up here, like, we're on the small fucking blue rock, you know, mm-hmm. whipping through space, and we're really making it difficult for ourselves. But then he sort of, like, changes gear a beat later, then tells them, do not make me let you down. Mm-hmm. Like, look, motherfuckers, I'm trying here. Don't fucking make me throw hands.
I do kind of wonder if Magneto getting... suddenly control of like such a well-oiled, well-trained team like the X-Men kind of caused him to also be like, oh, okay, I got this chance now to maybe not be so drastic. Like, let's use this team. Like, let's try Charles's way.
He really did. I mean, the episode opened up that way, him saving a Ferris wheel from falling apart and shit.
Yeah. But I mean, I think like, you know, because he was always kind of working with like his own team of people like that were just pissed off and coming in, going or whatever. But getting that opportunity to lead the X-Men, mm-hmm. I think that would cause anyone to like, all right, let's rethink our strategy here. Like, let's see what we can do.
How did it make you feel when I think it was at the end of the first episode when he says the line, me, my X-Men?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, fuck.
Okay. Yeah, it went from like, oh, fuck, cool, Cyclops, yes, and there's a Magneto, oh. Well,
yeah. It was more specifically on the first time.
It was kind of like a slap in their face. Like.
More specifically on that first episode, the arc of that one was them, you know, in the wake of Charles' death and Cyclops having to deal with the team and everything kind of changing, everyone coming into their own, especially without Charles. And, I lost my train of thought.
Clean.
Speaking of Charles Xavier and being a father figure, they really like that's a whole through line through the comics, like over the years of him being a shitty dad, basically making all these decisions that he thinks is best for the people and then having to deal with the fallout from everyone, especially from Scott, who in the comics later kills Charles Xavier. Like, there's like it goes like two extremes, but then you know they retcon everything and everyone goes, but yeah.
Oof. So the other thing that Scott is dealing with is now that Jean Grey is pregnant, or is it Jean Grey? He'd be getting it from others. Is that like he does want to like move on, and now he can't do that because Charles is gone. But now that like Magneto's taking over, Magneto's at the very end of the episode takes over, but. Throughout the whole episode, he's like, I'll come to terms with, like, leading the team and everything. And so that's what was so cool about that fucking fight scene. And, you know, to me and my X-Men, and they all come together, and there's a fucking... That was that action, that fight scene against the Sentinels, mm-hmm. was just top-notch fucking shit. Like, can we just talk about that for a quick second? Like the action of that. What was it? I think Gambit was riding Wolverine.
Yeah,
and then he charges him up, and then jumps on Morph turning into Blob. I'm like, that's fucking great.
It is. A lot of tag team combos in the comics. You gotta love that stuff.
It's fascinating how much the cartoon can pull off action better, I think, than what we see,
especially
and
now.
And we've talked about it because I know you've expressed your desire for these live action movies to like just give us that animated feel.
And, just give
and
it
like,
to me.
And I get it. Sometimes, like some of the way they do shots, like might just look ridiculous in live action. But I don't know. Like I've been watching this. It's like no, this is what we want. And I think most of what we saw could translate pretty easily into live action.
Because that's the thing. If you watch, well, we've all watched Endgame, but I'm just going to get into this right quick. That whole scene with Thor, Iron Man, and Cap fighting Thanos, like, why can't you get something cool? Like, to me,
I gotcha.
Gambit charging Wolverine's claws and
damn it,
tossing him.
Yeah.
That's like equivalent to Captain America getting the hammer. Like you just seeing that as a fan on screen.
But would it have looked as cool? Like Channing Tatum's running at you as Gambit and Hugh Jackman jumps on his back.
I was just about to say that shit. Like imagining that in my head.
Yeah.
But give me the giggles. This is what I'm saying. But regardless.
But it's going to be someone.
To be fair.
Yeah, it is going to be fair. Someone. To be but fair. That's like Chris.
They did it in Last Stand or I think X2 or one of those in the Danger Room. When they're fighting the danger version of a Sentinel, you only get to see the feet or the head later. It was Colossus that fucking hurls Wolverine. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get to see a little bit of that tag team action.
Well, yeah, that's cool. But I'm imagining somewhat
doing the Gambit thing.
Like that, you know, somehow some of that shit would look kind of weird in live action.
Yeah.
And just that image popped in my head, Channing Tatum and
Hugh Jackman on him. Yeah.
Just riding him like.
Yeah.
That created a little disconnect there.
It really does, right? Because once you get live action, the idea of anyone jumping on someone else's back, that's not like Superman, right?
Yeah, I can't say Hugh Jackman's Wolverine really liking that. Although it's easier because he's like a 6'3"-ish guy.
Yeah.
As opposed to like a 5'2".
But he should break. But that's what I'm saying. Like if Channing Tatum is running his Gambit, then Wolverine should be like, you know, short. Like to jump on someone's back. I mean, like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it doesn't always translate, short people, but some of it people. Does.
All right, before we get too far down that particular rabbit hole. Episode 3. Holy shit. That's when things switched up, right? The amount of history they packed into one, 30-minute episode?
Yeah. Dude, I'm looking at all the notes for all of these, and they pack a lot in every fucking episode.
Oh, that's when we learned about Jean, right? Yeah. I don't read too many Marvel comics, but I do remember people like were kind of upset because it's like, oh, they took like an entire comic book storyline and condensed it.
That was like, what, 2 years, 3 years of storyline, and they condensed it into like one compact episode?
It worked.
When they started getting into it, I'm like, holy shit, we're going to get like a whole season of the Goblin Queen, of Madeline Pryor, and Jean Grey, and like they wrapped it up at the episode. I was like, that wasn't what I was expecting, but it went down pretty smooth.
Yeah, it almost felt like it came out of nowhere.
Do you need it? All of that back history?
For X-Men 97, for the cartoon, no, you don't.
But they still haven't told us when Sinister swapped them. So we get the reveal of the double Jean Grey at the end of episode 2, and then we explore that more in episode 3, but we're now and you know the penultimate episode of the season, and even Sinister's like, don't you want to know? He's like a dick. He goes, hey, remember that? Don't you want to know when I swapped you? She's like, fucking, I almost forgot about that, you asshole.
Yeah.
So we it's still not an answered question because it does then ask, like, well, how much living did Scott do with Madeline?
Mm-hmm. And it introduced the whole idea of, like, Cable, Nathan being the son of Cyclops and Madeline, not Jean. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's a shame that they did, because I know that was a big part of the comic books. And it's a shame that they condensed it. But like I said, I think anyone that doesn't know the comic books, it was still just like a very cool episode. And
it was heartfelt.
And the ramifications of it are still there within the rest of the series.
But even saying that, I think even being a comic book fan and knowing that storyline and seeing like, oh shit, they condensed the shit out of it, it still went over pretty well for me. Because
people who know the comics.
Because usually when they do something like that, when they take a grand storyline. Sorry. When take a grand storyline and then like get it all the way down to, you know, this little compact 30-minute episode, like people are like, oh, they left this out and they left this out. They didn't even touch on this. And I've seen a little bit of that online, but for the most part, it's, damn, that was good.
Yeah. Maybe it's commentary.
Fuck about, you laughing at, boy.
Maybe it's commentary about, on comic sorry. Books.
I was thinking about when Beast actually tells them
oh, yeah.
who's the clone.
Oh.
No bedside manner.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out you're actually the clone. Anyways, to have my tea. And you're like, fuck, dude. Whoa, man. You just dropped it on there and moseyed on.
Everybody's a clone.
You're a clone and you're a clone. Yeah, that was really dropped on them. Like, yeah, they did the test and everything, but just didn't like go, hey, I'm going to pull you aside. And he's like, oh, we're all here? Cool.
Yeah, we ain't got time for this shit.
This bitch ain't the bitch we thought she was. Like, fuck. That sucked. But at the end of that episode, going back to like Sinister being a fucking asshole, you know.
I love him, by the way. He's like my favorite.
He's trippy.
Yeah, I never used him in my Marvel Snap decks, but that's how I know him.
So Madeline and Scott have the baby. I think in the second episode, which, again, we have to go back to the second episode because some events that were pretty fun. But then, like, they have the baby, and, you know, they're kind of trying to live whatever remainder of a life that they have together, even though with this knowledge of Jean or whatever, Madeline, you know, figuring out she's a clone. Sinister goes, oh, yeah, you have a baby? He's my baby. Boom, I gave him some fucking sickness. And you're like, now they got to send him off to the future. That's what an asshole. Yeah. They're just trying to fucking live their lives. That's all they're really trying to do.
That kind of fucked with me, though, because, again, not being a huge, huge X-Men fan, I really always assumed that Bishop and Cable were from the same, like, timeline. And I guess they are.
Are they?
Well, I mean, because Bishop grabbed Cable and took him into his future. But then, obviously, Cable, like, grew to an old man. Like, I always assumed those two, like, fought side by side. Mm-hmm. But they obviously didn't, because Cable was a baby when Bishop was already a grown man.
Oh my God, I'm so dumb. I didn't even think about that.
I mean, it's still like within one, I guess, one generation of the future. But well,
shit.
They, and Bishop very well could have been like 20 or something.
They do explain
today,
that.
I was today years old.
When they went back into the future, they got separated and Bishop went back to his time and Cable got shot into the far future.
Oh, so Cable's even further.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, see, I always assumed same futures.
He saw the end of the Bastion mutant conflict. And that's why he came back to.
He was always trying to. Same thing with Bishop. He's always trying to change shit. Yeah. But there's those fixed points that we kind of establish in Marvel's What If and The Watcher. We get a hint of The Watcher in the starry sky in the Genosha.
Yeah. They threw that in.
So might be hinting that it's in that, you know, the whole multiverse, same universe thing. So per that, there's those fixed points, which is why when Cable shows up at the ball in Genosha, he tries to warn, but then just gets immediately snapped back. There was no difficulty. It was just a fixed point.
So Cable came out of that thing, and he said, not again.
Uh-huh.
So at the end of the episode, when everything was said and done, mm-hmm. after my boy put in heavy work. But it's one of those things where I thought just because of that phrase that I was like, oh, there's a possibility. I'm like, he's been here before, because he just said not again. So I was like, oh, so he's going to come back and he's probably going to come back at a time where he can warn him earlier. But then that lets me know Gambit is donezo, right?
D-E-D dead. Yeah.
I was like,
So, yeah, so at the jumping, well, yeah, I guess we'll jump ahead. Because fucking episode 4, Motendo.
Yeah, that was just a kind of a little filler. It was cute. Funsies.
Cutesies.
So I looked more into that, right? Because I thought the same thing, like, okay, it was a fun filler, cool references and Easter eggs and shit like that. But what it kind of was, because we hadn't had the Genosha, that whole thing really changed the whole show. I think it was on the next episode. But it was sort of a way, the way that it was written was sort of a way, because Jubilee turns 18. But it was a way for the writers to let us know, like, hey, look, things can't always stay the same fun, nostalgic way that you want it to be. Some shit just has to change. It doesn't mean it's going to get any worse. It's going to get better. That's kind of, to me, what that
that her storyline. But it got worse after that. It really did. It really fucking did. Go on.
But I do like when writers of comic books, of nerd shit in general, like kind of throwing that meta message to everybody.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, I can't imagine being a creative in this world in today's time of Twitter outrage, nerd outrage, or whatever you want to call it. And I mean, like, I still, like, going off topic to, like, DC Comics, and I know this is a decade ago with Superboy Prime. I still love that they made Superboy Prime as, like, a representative of whiny fucking fanboys that complain about things changing. And I don't know how many people got that, like, if you didn't read about it, but...
You write what you know. That's what writers usually do. They write what they know.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I didn't think about that for episode 4 of this series, but it's cool. I kind of like that. It's like, hey, everybody, change is fine. It's okay. It's okay.
Because then I do like that it
we got you.
that it showed Jubilee that and everybody else that there's more to her. And her abilities,
yeah.
You know, the whole
sparkle fingers,
because the whole changing thing that you're going to evolve and you're going to get better powers than you have now.
Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't touch on because what they kind of covered in that episode, the second storyline was Storm's dealing with her losing her powers. So going back to episode.
Be careful what you wish for.
2, she loses her powers defending Magneto at the UN.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the executioner had this, you know, power neutralizing gun that they later find out basically was made by
Forge. Cold blood.
And like, it was so sad. She's like, I can't feel the wind. Bummer.
Wow. You're an asshole. Can we get to Forge for a minute? How cool a fucking mutant is Forge?
That's a crazy
all that ability.
His ability.
Anything he thinks of, he can. Invent, create, yeah. Fuck yeah.
And knows awesome. The ins and outs of it. Like, just.
Like, that's fucking cool. Like, I always liked his character.
Mm-hmm. Should I be the one? Do you want to keep doing these shots or do you want to do, like, real shots?
I've been sipping them. It's really good. Okay. Here. I mean,
should I be the one for the hypotag? Forge, the perfect butt plug. He would do it.
The perfect butt plug.
No, but that's a cool mutant. Yeah, cool mutant ability with a tail.
I said, what would that entail? Oh, with a tail, yeah.
With a tail. Yeah, with a tail.
That's where it came from. It's a Forge design.
Yeah. Again, Forge, like, a character that I saw in Snap all the time that I was like, what is his mutant ability? Because in the game, like, you play him and then the next character you play gets a bonus or something like that. But it makes sense now. It's cool.
He's the... X-Men Tony Stark.
Yeah. And that yeah, B-plot really. With that, it worked. You know, a lot of times, sometimes when they do things like that, like, oh, this character lost their power, lost their motivation or whatever it is, right? And they go off into the desert, literally. And sometimes I lose interest in that kind of stuff because it's too...
Yeah, you talked about it, like, superheroes losing their powers kind of bores you sometimes.
If done right, it could be super interesting. There was a Superman series in the comics where he lost his powers and he was like, I'm going to go walk across the country. And like, they did a couple good episodes or like good issues of him like solving small town crime. And it was super interesting because, you know, it's Superman who's normally fighting off alien invasions or whatever. But no, it's not just that. I think it's just sometimes they'll cut to that and it's usually some slow, very dialogue heavy.
It was, by the way, her plot was.
But it was done well. And I guess sometimes, I don't know, maybe people that like write action stuff aren't too well at the dialogue heavy stuff. I don't know, maybe. I don't know.
Real strong in your point there at the end.
But all that leads to episode 5.
Mm-hmm.
Remember it.
Jesus Christ.
Holy shit. As soon as they introduced Genosha and like showed it being the utopia that it was, I'm like, oh, well, this is going to get nuclear blasted, you know. Somewhere, because every time, at least in the comics, every time mutantkind finds a haven, it just blows up.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can't maintain it. Like it's just something about mutantkind having its own country, its own place that humankind just can't tolerate it. They're like, no, 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 no. Someone has to come in here and blow this up.
Yeah. Can't let marginalized groups have a thing.
Did you notice that the Magneto banners, the Magneto is right, kind of look like the Barack Obama banners?
I didn't notice that.
So, you know, they pulled from today. And also, the one thing that I kind of I missed on the first watch was, although Genosha is this utopia, this haven, it's still expensive to live there. Gambit notes that the apples are like $10.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 1997 money right there.
Yeah,
it's like $70.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I guess, say, like, is commentary on, like, there's still a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. Within that, like, utopian environment. That was such a cool episode. And again, like,
because yeah, the bomb, there was a lot of things that a lot of heavy bombs that dropped on that episode, but it was just more so what was going on with the characters. Because just the fact that Magneto asked Rogue to accompany him, and Gambit was like, oh, I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm going. And the other mutants were just back at the house. So everybody was separated because they were doing that interview for the news. And just the history that we got with Gambit, Rogue, and Magneto.
Yeah, that, the love triangle.
That triangle affair. That shit hit heavy for me anyways. Because my favorite X-Men is Gambit, Remy LeBeau, but it was just one of those things that...
Those three are really horny.
That, well, everybody's saying that X-Men 97 is horny. But it's just one of those things...
That's you, you why know, I don't like it so much.
Madeline Pryor is a goblin princess or whatever.
With X-Men, you get, you know, that soap opera.
Goblin D's nuts.
That,
Sorry.
Can I get my point across? So let me take my damn shot. Oh man. But the history with those characters and just what was going on with Genosha, Magneto was offered, you know, that role, like, we need you to, you know, be the face of this, you know. And he's just like, why me? But then, you know,
There's the statue of him and Charles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because those two are the guys that are in the forefront of this, you know, rise that they need to, you know, like, we've been fighting for this and we finally got it. And just the fact that it was Charles's dream, that he has to be the face, you know, for it. But just the fact that they... That he said, I'll only do this on one occasion, and he went to go talk to Rogue, and I was like, oh, damn. I was like, that was some soap opera shit right there.
You know what? You're right. It does feel like a soap opera. Yeah. Soap opera at times. Like, what? Madeline Pryor, the evil clone?
Well, I'm mad at myself because I waited. I didn't watch this on Wednesday, right? That's when it drops. I might have even waited close to a week. Mm-hmm. And I started seeing the commentary. People were just like, oh, man, that episode gutted me. Like, people crying emoji, bullshit, blah, blah, blah. And I think it was the same week in show. Like, Shogun had some, like, shit happening. And so people were just like, man, this whole, like, tough week for nerds and nerd media. I mean, I don't know if Shogun's necessarily nerd media. But... So watching the episode the whole time, getting this backstory of Rogue and Magneto and, like, her kind of breaking up with Gambit to go, like, I thought that was the heartbreak. I thought that's what people were crying about. I was like, so part of me, like, watching was like, oh, these emotional fucking shitheads. Like, okay, it's sad. And then the heartbreak happened.
Before we get to that major heartbreak, there's a couple of other, like, heart-tugging things because... Jean Grey is still trying to recover her memories. Mm-hmm. She kisses Wolverine.
Yeah, and then sucks.
Two love triangles going on there.
Yeah,
you have that parallel story going on with the crew that's at the house.
Uh-huh.
You have the, you know, everybody that's in Genosha. and just Jean being confused about who she is, and then, you know, Scott having a baby with somebody else, and then on top of that, her finding out, oh, you got a psychic connection to this bitch.
Yeah.
You know, and how long has that been going on? And then,
well, Madeline was like psychic tapping into Cyclops, and then Jean's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I love that.
So, but just her going through her feelings, and then even, you know, Cyclops is like, how do you even know that you love me? Like, you know, is this you or just your memories? And this, you're just like, damn. But I will say, before even all that happened, I love what Cyclops said to that news reporter, and I can't quote it word for word.
Oh, you pull it up.
But when she was asking him all the questions, and he stopped, and he was like, you know what? You guys are just lucky that we're not like you.
Yeah.
Oh. Because if...
You guys are ungrateful.
Yeah. And by the way, that interview is kind of big in the realm of the X-Men animated thing, because X-Men typically function like kind of really behind the scenes, underground sort of stuff. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, when I looked into it, this was like the first time that they were allowing themselves to be interviewed so that they could be seen as like not monsters, but you know, people too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's, I mean, man, it's through the whole show.
It was an emotional episode.
You're struggling with, like, who's right? Is Charles right? Is Magneto correct? What would you do? How would it work? And, yeah, you're always going to have people hating and shit like that. And then the attack happens on Genosha.
Then you have the echoes.
Prior to that, this one of the lines in that episode that really got me was the UN representative lawyer or whatever came up to Magneto during the ball and you know, she commented something like, oh, most other nations wouldn't allow a terrorist to be, because Genosha was trying to join the UN, right? Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, most other nations don't allow a terrorist to be their leader. And then he turned and just like really smoothly was just like, yeah, so many allow their leaders to be terrorists, which like,
oh man,
in today's turmoil.
Sick,
yeah.
Murder.
Yeah. That definitely solidifies it to me, is just like, yeah, this it's a smart show. I think I wouldn't call it necessarily an adult cartoon, but that's me.
That's what you're like mentioning before, right?
Yeah,
like
I said I have issues with it.
Because I wouldn't say that it's a kid's cartoon.
I would say it's a kid's cartoon. Not kids. It's like 16, it 17, has 18.
For everybody. You know, when you watch like a Disney cartoon or even like Pixar, you know, they have things for the kids and then they have things for the adults too. So it's just one of those things. They have ideas in there for everybody. It's just not, you know, we're going to cater to just these people that are watching it.
Not to go on like a totally like tangent here, but I don't know if you guys saw that some old like decade old comment from Alan Moore, writer of The Watchmen and a couple other comics. He was kind of commenting on graphic novels and that idea of like people, have, you know, by calling them graphic novels, a lot of people have convinced themselves that they're reading like adult comics and but in reality it's like it's still the same old bullshit comic books for kids. Like there's only been a few real adult comics that have been written, and I mean it's like I do like I've read that today and I was thinking about X-Men where it's like yes this show covers like some pretty heavy topics, but it's like it's still at the end of the day a show for, you know, late teens or whatever. I mean, we as 40-year-olds and 30-somethings or whatever.
34, I just turned 34.
You just turned 34, yeah. Congrats, almost there.
Everything
hurts. You're almost at that point where it's just fucking downhill. But good luck. And so, but I mean, it's like, so it still certainly appeals to us and everything like that. But like, I don't know. Let's stop pretending it's like, it's fucking high adult entertainment.
Yeah.
I think the show does a pretty good job of straddling that line, though, between
absolutely
doing, you know, the fan service and then, you know, actually making it palatable to a wider audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think anything, any kid that watches this, which I hope kids are watching it, I think they're learning. I hope they're learning something. And I hope they're getting the message that the X-Men have always been trying to put out as far as like not mistreating people because they're different, Like that's just my hope. I hope, you know, we as adults see it, and I hope kids see it and learn it and take it in on, you know, whatever.
The quote that I was talking about earlier with the head writer, writer Bo DeMeo, he had tweeted, it said, my plan was the first half of the season is the OG audience pre 9/11 days, rife with nostalgia and comfort. Then 9/11, like Tulsa and other mass tragedies, turned the world upside down and reminded us the whole world is unsafe, which is a fucking heavy thing to say. Mm-hmm. But that is what happens in this episode. So the events leading up to the actual like attack is Rogue has accepted Magneto's offer and really flaunts it with the PDA, where they're kind of floating and spinning and kissing because apparently Magneto can generate a force field that's not going to be affected by Rogue's abilities.
He can get that Rogue handy.
Really throwing it in fucking Gambit's face, poor guy.
Yeah.
Really throwing it in his face.
But and some things are deeper than skin.
Yeah.
Right?
His crop top was crumpled. And
and like, yeah, and that beat later, she retracts her invitation. Mm-hmm.
She changes her mind.
Thank you.
Which I was kind of like, oh, well, she didn't really last very long with that. But, like, you know, sitting with her for a while, like, she really tried. Like, she really, like, I'm going to sacrifice my happiness and really play it up to be, you know, to show this utopia or whatever to, like, this is the king and queen of Genosha, and, like, we're going to try. Like, it's...
Yeah, because this is what they've been fighting for.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? And then, but, like, you know, she really gets down to it, and she's like, it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, well, because... Nightcrawler and what was it, Nightcrawler that in the beginning of this episode said that told Gambit, you know, like, you can see you guys' touch in every gaze. I was just sitting there like, oh, I fucking hate this.
Your soul's touch in every gaze.
Because it's so good. Like, that whole episode fucked me up.
And as Rogue makes that decision to go back to Gambit, mm-hmm. big kaboom. The attack was so fucking heavy. You know what? It reminded me of Godzilla Minus One when he finally has his first atomic blast, the heat wave, and it's just massive and it's ultimate destruction. And everyone's trying to help everyone else out. Rogue is reminded she can't touch people and help them out. And Magneto's doing his best to save whoever he can. Specifically, he chooses to save a couple of mutants. One of them by the name of Leech, whose ability is actually to neutralize anyone's ability near him.
Yeah, if anyone that plays Marvel Snap would know that Leech can just fucking kill your momentum. Anyway.
So he's choosing to save this kid, even though his powers are weakened, mm-hmm. you know, and before he maybe or maybe doesn't die, he in Magneto's native language, Hebrew, right?
Must be.
Yeah, he says, don't be afraid. And then it's like so intense because it flashes back to him in Auschwitz. It was like, mm-hmm. fuck. Whoa, that's heavy. He dies. and then you have Gambit trying to save the fucking day. And it's
with a broken fucking heart. Bro, that shit killed me. Yeah. Like, it's like, you remember when the Obi-Wan said, oh, fuck, I'm getting caught up. You remember when the Obi-Wan series started and how he was like, everybody was just shitting on the show. Like, oh, it's so, I'm like, bro, he just killed like his brother. Like, this is how he would, like, this is how anybody who had that, you know, type of heart would react to that situation. Yeah. But anyways, so he's doing that on top of all that. Like he's trying to save the day and save his girl at the same time, mm-hmm. because she's pissed because Magneto died, and Magneto was dual wielding because he's trying to save mm-hmm. them at the same time, because that's Rogue. You know, he's like, oh, no, I can't have you die too. And Gambit's trying to tell her, like, no, he's trying to save us. You know, like, he's trying to protect us. Like, don't go out there. But then she's still gung-ho, which I get. You know what I'm saying? For somebody to see something like that, you could see somebody reacting that way, but
Go ahead.
Yep.
Go ahead. Just start so we can call you a bitch.
I knew this was going to happen.
It's true fandom right there. I'm in love with them even more.
My eyeballs is
emotionally sweating.
Looks like rain.
Yeah.
I come.
But it's one of those things like where I'm like, man, this dude is like handling business, doing what he's doing, trying to protect her at the same time. And just the dialogue that he's delivering about, you know, what did he say? Like the favor.
The cards are always in Gambit's favor.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
And like he's jumping through the rubble dash. I love rubble battles, by the way.
As long as they're not in zero G, we're good.
But when that blast hit the ground and you just see him pull out his staff and he says his line and he jumps up. And then he gets impaled. I was sitting there like I literally felt that shit.
Heavy on the Christ-like symbolism there, too.
Yeah.
Getting hit on the side.
But at the same time, though, I was like broken and so fucking sad that shit happened. But in the back of my mind, like I got up and I was like screaming at the TV. Like I was like, you fucking better do it. I was like, do it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he said his line and that fucking... And the whole Sentinel just fucking lit up with his kinetic energy. And I was like, oh, my God.
My name is Gambit.
He was like, the classic line that they pulled, you know, remember it and all that shit. I was just like, that shit, like, fucked me up for days.
What fucked me up immediately after that is Rogue finally finds his body and says, I can't feel you.
Yeah.
Like, out of everything, after she finally made the decision, and this is the only time she's able to, is
when everything in this fucking episode, like just broke me. Magneto's half of my heart for X-Men. So when he died, how he died, what he said before he died, I was just like, fuck. Gambit, I was just like, damn. Like, that shit hurt. And then just, like you just mentioned, just Rogue happened. I was emotionally sweating after that episode.
To go back to that Magneto where he says his line at the end, like I saw someone online and was like, can you imagine that's probably what his parents said to him as they were being separated?
Yeah. Or what he said to his daughter. Cause
in the camps or whatever.
He also has a daughter. Mm-hmm. But that as well. It's, Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was...
If you guys know me, like I've said before, like I'm not a very reactionary watcher. Like usually it's just dead face. But that episode was certainly... I at least got this. sitting in my gaming desk like, what?
And then I went back gaming. I think I watched this episode like 5 times out of like any episode. Like I probably watched twice, but this particular episode, like, and every time I was like, it hurts the fucking same.
Yeah.
I like to watch the episodes and then I'll go and look for reactions from other people, like all the YouTube reaction community. And like every time, like I went and watched that like over and over again. And like every time it would be the Gambit death and then Rogue saying I can't feel you, and every time was a fucking punch in the gut.
That shit.
People like jumping every out the time. Windows and like crying. I mean, that's how YouTube reactions are, right? Like flipping a table, jumping out the window, hanging themselves.
No. What punching also fucked me up too was before Magneto died, when he said his little speech, you know, like, we're not going to wonder if we could have saved more.
Oh.
That whole...
Yeah.
That whole speech and his reaction when he got blasted into the building and he just like flew in there and he hit that thing and he picked up that train.
Oh, dude, the train whip.
And he screamed. He was like, they will be event. I was dead, bro. I was dead.
Yeah, because he,
like, dead. Yeah. Like my eye could not. I was glad Kat was upstairs while I was watching this fucking episode because I was crying like a little bitch.
We talked about it in a few episodes before of. How they would update if they were to like, you know, update the X-Men and make them in like the current storyline, then you would essentially have Magneto who would not have been in Auschwitz. And it would just take away from that character so much because it feeds into so much of his motivation that yes, you want to do right by your people, but you can't do it passively. Sometimes you need to really nut up and beat the shit out of people.
Because that's why he's the Malcolm X and Professor X is Martin Luther King. Like, you know, he's that by any means necessary. You know, he's like, look, I'm going to try it, but if this shit goes sideways, I'm always at the ready. So, yeah, but that whole episode, bro.
To speak to Magneto and the whole train thing, like, you can't not get emotional watching Magneto run a train on someone.
Fuck yeah.
But yeah, emotionally, when you think about Gambit dying, and he died before Rogue could tell him that she chose him over Magneto, like, that, like, someone pointed that out somewhere in a comment, and I'm like, holy shit, yeah, it just... Every time you go back over it, this is layers upon layers upon layers of emotion there.
I know this show, I know a lot of the superhero stuff bring back the dead often. You can throw something at me if you disagree. I kind of don't want them to bring Gambit back because it, for me, cheapens that whole thing. Like, everything you just felt right now is feeling the finality of Gambit, this very beloved character, his death.
See, I don't mind that characters die. I love the way how he died anyways. Mm-hmm. Like, if he had to go out, that was perfect. Like, perfect, you know. So, for myself, and I can only say this for me, I would love to see how, in comic books, you know, cartoons or whatever, like, the last, you know, like, breath Batman took, the last breath Superman took. Like, this is why I'm so glad, like, we got the last Ronin for the Ninja Turtles. You know, there's been little stories, you know, written here and there about, you know, how certain turtles, you know, would die. But there was nothing, you know, that was, like, cement, you know, that was concrete that they can say, oh, this is how, you know, Donatello died, or, you know, whatever. But it's one of those things, I think, in a story that it adds so much, and it would be interesting to see, because I always thought Batman, Bruce Wayne, that he would never live to be like an old man, you know? So in my, you know, DC universe, there kind of would be no Batman Beyond, because I don't think Batman would actually end up living that long in my world. So I wouldn't be heartbroken if he didn't come back. But if he did, I would also be fine with it, because, you know, we've got that in comics so many times before.
It's a much broader conversation, but I think you look at the success of Game of Thrones, which I would say is probably one of the first, like, really big series that, like, started killing characters off.
Nobody's safe.
Yeah.
Just a Red Wedding alone.
And I'm not saying that comics need to, like, yeah, just, like, really start offing people quickly.
Episode 5 was the Red Wedding for it.
Yeah. But I think, and we've talked about this, at least personally, I don't know, but on the show, but I really do think that there's a place for, maybe not in the main continuity, because, you know, money has to be made. Money. Mm-hmm. But there's at least a place for, like, some sort of continuing story, whether it be in a cartoon version, like maybe like this with X-Men 97, or a separate comic book series of just, like, let's do this continuing hardcore story where characters are going to die. Even if it's a character that everybody loves, like, you know what? Like, they die, then maybe someone takes up the mantle. Maybe someone doesn't. Someone maybe, like, there's still a story to be told. And I wish, you know, comic book fans and nerds can, like, accept, like, yeah, you know what, Gambit's gone, right, in this, and we can remember him, but, like, don't throw a fucking fit, don't get all ragey on the Twitters and shit to bring him back, because, like let characters stay dead, and then, like, you know, I mean, not that, I don't know if this series is going to go on for years and years, but, like, maybe someone will take up the name or something, but I think there's just, there's more creativity out there than just rehashing the same old shit and the same old characters that have been forever. And
yeah,
what I will say as far as this show has been doing, as far as this is concerned,
if they do bring Gambit back, all I know is that they've been writing some amazing stories, some amazing episodes that I didn't expect for them to write. So I don't know what to expect. It's just been great all around. So if they do bring Gambit back, I'm sure it'll be in some really impressive way. But we're towards the end. Let's wrap this up because we're going to make this a two-parter because we wanted to do this show
Surprise!
So much justice. And we're going to pick up on episode 6, Gambit's funeral, and then everything thereafter. But I want to just ask an overall question, especially to the audience, of do you think humanity will ever accept mutants?
Fuck no.
So I want to pick that up on the next episode. But before we wrap it up, it's been a couple of weeks since we recorded, and a couple of some hypertechers have had some birthdays. So let's wrap it up a little bit cheery. Let's do some birthday shots.
I need some emotional shots.
If you want to watch that,
someday I'll master how to point at your screens. These two birthday shots.
Look at the fucking. We put some.
I want some.
Oh, you want some curdle?
Jesus.
I want some curdles in whey.
Oh, that's really what?
Let's all throw up together.
I thought that was going to float.
Holy shit, did you like not finish your cream and just pour it on top?
I poured some more in.
Oh.
I put some more in.
No, I'm talking about him specifically.
Yeah.
Oh, I poured some more in.
Do you want some?
Because I just have the, you know.
He poured it on top and it just sunk.
I have the cum shot here.
Do you want a little bit of this in there? Do you want a little bit?
No, I'm good.
All right, cool.
You're all going to die.
Hey. Jermaine, happy birthday to you, brother.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, guys.
You.
I think I was busy like both weekends. So I couldn't celebrate with y'all. Happy birthday. Cheers.
To Remy.
Cheers.
Remember it.
My lips. I can't feel you.
I got none of the ego in that.
That wasn't bad.
That was terrible.
Pure buffalo trace.
Oh, God.
That tingle funny.
No.
Oh, my God. Well, that's a good place to say to wrap this episode up. Tell us what you thought about this. This is an X-Men 97 down in the comment section. Hit us up at the DMs. I'm sure we'll put some polls. We're being a little more interactive lately. You can check us out at
The Hype Attack
on Instagram. Let us know what we missed. Like, share, follow, review, subscribe, and all that other stuff. Till next time. Same hype time.
Same hype channel.
It hurts.
Hype tag. Butt plug.